marriage family conference without turning to Ephesians 5. We spend most of our time in 1 Peter 3 or Genesis 1, but take your Bibles, turn to Ephesians 5. And this is just, I won't say light, but I think you'll enjoy it. It's a great way to go home on. It's very practical. It'll be something you learn, and you could talk to your spouse about which one was the one you needed the most today. And we're going to talk about the five most important truths for a home. Okay, now I teach this in a Christian marriage in the home class. And I think that the student, now we spent a little more time on it than we're going to today, but I think the students really enjoyed this one. The five most important truths for a home. Let's start at Ephesians chapter 5, and let's read that great passage. I'll read it out loud. We'll have a word of prayer, and we'll start talking about it. Submitting, verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. So it isn't just wives submitting to the husbands. It's husbands also submitting one to another. Verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. That's who you're ultimately submitting and trusting in. For the husband is the head of the wife. That is the authority position. Even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. To me, that may be the greatest commandment that, or maybe the hardest or biggest commandment anyone could ever have. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife, really loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth, values it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Do you realize that marriage is just a metaphor of our relationship with Christ? Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Father, I ask and pray that these five truths of the home and family we would go with. Father, I think about everything that we have learned and everything that we have heard since last night. Father, I hope there's a little more room left, because I pray that they'll really get a hold of these five important truths in their home and family. Thank you, Lord, for these people. They have heard so much. They have sat so well. I sense they have been great ground. Lord, may we have filled their cup with many things. But Lord, may we not just be hearers of the word. May we leave here today doing something that we have heard. We pray these things in Jesus' name. And God's children said, amen. Okay, so this is it. We got to do a little review. Number one. Are men and women equal? Yes and no. Explain it. Somebody raise your hand, explain it. How are we equal? How are we different? How is that yes and no? Equal in value. Good. How are we not equal? Roles, responsibilities. Good job. All right. Give me six men Raise your hand and give me one. Of, oh, by the way, everyone together, men alone, all men together. Greatest need of your wife is security. Raise your hand. Give me a way to provide security for your wife. Spiritual leader. Hey, can anyone remember the two qualities of a leader? Initiative with a servant's heart. Good job. Good job. Give me another way you can provide security for your wife. Quickly, quickly, quickly. Yes. Okay. What did he say? Protect from danger. Physical protection. Excellent. Excellent. Don't be under the bed. Okay. All right. Okay. What else? What else? What else? Oh, come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. What's that? Okay. Finances. Great. Great. What were some of the... She needs to be needed. She needs to be needed. Okay. Come on, guys. Okay. Stradivarius violin. You got to always what? Value, cherish her. Good, 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 good. Time, yeah. And what does that time come out of? Quality time comes out of quantity time. Yeah, amen. What else? Make her house a home. Give him a little peck on the cheek, girl. That was a good one to read. Who said that? Was that you? Oh, I thought that was you. Yeah, I wouldn't kiss him. Make her house a home. All right, really good. I think that was covering about everything. All right. All right. Ladies, greatest need of a man is respect. Give me some ways you can give your husband respect. Verbal affirmation. Ooh, yeah. What else? What? Trust him. And by the way, everyone together, who are you ultimately trusting? The Lord. You are ultimately trusting the Lord. Okay. So, give me the four steps of appeal. Have the right motive. Have the right time. Have the right words. And have the right response. I think everyone got it over here. Okay. All right. Okay. And then you got to stay a what for your husband? A challenge, physically, mentally, spiritually. You got to stay a challenge for your husband. Okay, we're doing good. All right, parenting this morning. All right, three to thrive. Give me one of them. Parent with a what? Parent with a purpose. Okay, what were some purposes that maybe you could have? Be your child's what? Greatest influence. Okay, what else? Instant obedience, okay. What else? Go for a what, not a what? Godly kids, not a just good kids. And then what? Oh, yeah. Teach your children what? Practical life skills. They ought to know how to do stuff in life, okay? Okay, then we should go for the conscience. All right, here's the big question of the day. Proverbs 22:6. Is it a principle or is it a promise? Way to go. We accomplished something today. It's a promise. Okay, some of you are going, I don't believe it, but okay, hell, you said. I'm telling you, it's a promise, not a principle. And if you build up their conscience, they can never get away from that. And then there's three areas you got to stay balanced. One area is what? Truth with mercy. Excellent. What's another area? Consequences with, yeah, forgiveness with consequences. Good. And then last, you got to do what? Privilege with responsibility. Oh, you guys have learned so much. All right, here we go. I got really quick now. Five most important truths in the home. Number one, the most important relationship in the home is the husband and wife. No question about it. Guys, we mentioned this last night, so I'm not going to spend much time on this. The best father in this room is the best husband. I'm telling you. You want to be a good father? Be a good husband. You want to be a good mother? I love my kids. Then be a good wife. Because those kids are watching all of this. And the relationship between the husband and wife. By the way, the relationship, husband and wife, is the authority relationship. And God always works through authority. And now I got to get back to the captivity. You remember? The people came out of captivity in three groups. The first group, anyone remember who it was? King Zerubbabel. Don't you love that name? I love that. King Zerubbabel brings them back. What did they do when they got back to Jerusalem? Does anyone remember? Book of Haggai, Book of Zechariah. Under Zerubbabel, what did they do? They rebuilt the temple. And after they rebuilt the temple, they had revival, right? No. But the temple's rebuilt. Well, you got to have a preacher. So then Ezra comes. And Ezra brings back another group of people. And this other group of people come. And Ezra comes, and now he's the preacher. Now, I got to tell you, you ever want to study a great preacher? It's Ezra. He prepared his heart before he taught. He gets up. He starts preaching the word of God. So now they're coming back from captivity. They've rebuilt the temple, and they got a preacher, and they have revival, right? No. And there's a third man that comes back. What's his name? Nehemiah. Nehemiah brings back the third group, and then they do something. They do it in 52 days, too. They do what? They rebuild the walls. And then in Nehemiah chapter 8, at a place called Watergate, they have revival. And I'll tell you why they have revival. Because now there is protection around that place. The number one purpose of all God-given authority is protection, number one. Husbands, remember, greatest need of your wife's security, protection. Everything authority does in a home, everything authority does in a church, and everything authority is supposed to do in government has to be with one thing, protection. By the way, that's why we need to build the wall. Think about it. The battle that we're having right now. By the way, whenever a government, a French philosopher once said this, whenever the government over the people becomes a cow to milk instead of a watchdog to feed, that country culture is doomed. Isn't that an incredible statement? Whenever government becomes a cow to milk, providing, instead of a watchdog to feed, protection, that country is doomed. Our country has been, they look at government as what? Provision instead of protection. But let me tell you, moms and dads, let me tell you, husbands, you are, husband's wife, you are the authority relationship in your home. That means the number one job you have is a job of protection. Now, let me tell you something. There is a spirit at West Coast that I've just never experienced before. And I'll tell you one of the great reasons we built walls of protections around our students. Now, every one of our, not everyone, but most of our students are always trying to test the walls. You got a kid like that? Wherever you put up a wall, they want to go check it out, you know? They want to sure. But you just remember that inside those walls is the real freedom and the real protection. And you hold to those walls, mom and dad, husband, wife. The most important relationship in a home is the husband-wife relationship. It's the authority relationship. It's the picture relationship. Look at your notes. It is the picture of Christ in the church. It is the key to successful parenting. It is the authority relationship. This relationship between husband and wife gives security, satisfaction, and success to the entire family unit. Most important relationship in the home, husband and wife. Hey, you guys took a Friday night and you guys took a Saturday morning and you did something very honorable. You worked on your marriage and you worked on your home. That's a good thing. If you guys leave this conference closer together to each other, that's great because the most important relationship in the home, husband and wife. Number two, the most important person in the home is Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Some of your marriages need to get a hold of this. The most important person in our home is Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to tell you something that Marilee and I did. We never made our children the center of our lives. We always made Jesus Christ the center of our lives. That was the greatest thing we ever did for our kids. Because they knew, and I'm going to tell you, we live in a society today, we live in a culture today, and this is so prevalent in churches today, that their whole focus is around their little family and around their little kids. Let me tell you something, you are developing a generation of selfishness. You got to, the most important person in your home is Christ. And by the way, that's going to help you in a lot of areas. He is a person in your home by the Holy Spirit. So remember that. He is a person in your home. How many of you got in your family? Well, there's five of us. Did you add the Holy Spirit? Well, that would be six. Well, then that's good because he's a person. Number two, he can either be present in your home, he can be predominant in your home, or he can be what? Anyone know? Preeminent in your home. And that's what Christ needs to be. He needs to be preeminent. What's best? Now listen to this. This is the whole point under this number two. What's best for Christ is best for your family. And you just, and you got to teach your kids that, your spouse, and you got to be on the same page. Whatever's best for Christ is best for the family. By the way, that's why you get them to make sure they're in church all the time. You make, when you're on vacation, you still go to church. Number four, honor Christ in your home. He will honor your family. And I'm telling you, he will. Make his will your family's priority. You know what we need to stop saying? We need to stop saying to our kids, what do you want to do? And we need to start saying, what does God want you to do? Now, I'm going to tell you what's happening right now in our culture in independent fundamental Baptist churches. Do you know the three reasons why students don't come to West Coast? Are you ready? Money. Miles. And mama. The three reasons why students aren't going to Bible college today. Money. Well, they just need to go to the community college nearby, or this place is a little cheaper than this place. Hey, I got to tell you something. When we have a guest speaker come to our campus, there's a McDonald's about three minutes away. We don't take our speakers to McDonald's. Now, the only good restaurants are about 20 minutes away or whatever, but we don't take them to McDonald's. It's most convenient. It's the cheapest. Yeah, that's our guest speaker. You know, some of you are giving up on things. Money. Don't let money ever be an obstacle to where your kid goes to college. Let them trust in God. Number two, miles. You're in California. I'd never send my kid to California. Well, let me tell you this. If you can't send your kid to California, you're going to have a hard time sending your kid to the mission field. You think about that. I tell you, and the third thing is mama, parents. Why are the three, I've already this week dealt with a girl about coming to West Coast, and she said, my mom and dad don't want me to go that far away to college. Man, that stinks, gang. I got to tell you right now, the three reasons, what is best for Christ? And you need to stop letting your kids, what do you want to do? What do you want to do? Where do you want to go to college? And I'll tell you what's happening. Kids are going that are called to ministry, and they think that they go to a little Christian college, and that's going to take care of it. Well, you know, I'm going to Christian. Listen, you got to get your kids in a spot where God can really work on their heart and work in their lives. And I'm just telling you something. What's good for Christ is best for the family as well. And we need to stop saying, what do you want to do? What does Christ want us to do? Make his will your family priority. Number three, the most important relationship in the home, everyone together, most important relationship in the home is what relationship? Husband and wife. That was terrible. Number two, the most important person in the home is Jesus Christ. Number three, the most important time in the home is when someone else is speaking. Now, I've been really transparent with you guys this whole weekend. I mean, I've told a lot of bad stories on me. I'm going to tell a bad story on my family now. So we have four incredible, demonstrative, expressive people in our family. You cannot be around Ben Shetler and Ben Shetler not express himself. You cannot be around Drew. And Drew, last night we talked to Drew. It was midnight. I go like, Drew, I'm going to bed. Drew couldn't stop talking. You know, he wanted to tell us about cleaning his garage, okay? And he wouldn't stop talking, okay? This woman is a godly woman, but let me tell you something, she's opinionated. Okay, Merritt Lee's got an opinion. And I got to tell you, have you noticed? I'm a little expressive too, all right? And then there's Luke. And I will tell you, you get the Shetlers together no matter what we're talking about, and Ben's going to involve, and Drew's going to talk, and Merritt Lee's got something to say, and I guarantee you, old Dad's got something to say. And then there's Luke. And this is terrible what I'm about to tell you. But I'm telling you, it happens in the Shetler family. We all get start talking and everything like that. And after about 15, 20 minutes, we're all trying to get out of it. And then it happens. Luke's sitting on the couch, and he does this. And I go, oh, Lord, it happened again. Luke has got to raise his hand to speak. Okay, that is terrible. But it's just, you got to be in the Shetler family. We're all just so demonstrative. We're so expressive that when Luke has to say something, he's got to raise his hand. But Merrily, I'll tell you, I do this. Hey, guys. Hey, Ben, be quiet. Luke, what do you got? And I am going to tell you, this is very important. The most important time in your family is not, yeah, when I'm doing the talk. No. The most important time in your family is when someone else is talking. We need to, okay, now so here's something I've learned in the last few years, especially teaching these millennials, these Generation Z kids, okay, something I've learned. It is not how much I tell them, as much as I've learned recently, how much I listen to them. We need to start doing more listening than talking. Now, I got to tell you, anyone would say, Jim, you're a really good communicator. I don't think I am. Oh, no, Jim, you're a really good communicator. Your stories, you grab people's attention. That doesn't make a good communicator. You know what makes a great communicator? Is a great listener. The more you listen, the better you're going to be able to communicate. When I go to camps, the first day before I speak, I just spend time with the teenagers. And I just listen to them. They don't even know who I am. They don't even know that they got an old fat white guy for their speaker. They just think, oh, who is this guy, you know? But I tell you what, I'm trying to listen, because that'll teach me and that'll show me what to preach. The most important time in your family is when somebody else is talking. I'm telling you, it's a good one. Talking is the easiest thing in the world to do. Communication is the hardest thing in the world to do. Follow the laws of communication. Number one, be honest. Honesty is the foundation to all communication. If you're not honest, you're not communicating. Number two, keep current. Keep current. I gotta say something about that. Don't attack a person, attack a problem. And this is a classic. Stay away from 100% statements. Do you ever want to end a conversation? Say this. You never do this. You are always that way. As soon as you say never or always, communication stops at that very moment. What happens? What happens as soon as your spouse says to you, you never do this? What do immediately at that moment? Yeah, well, but why do you clam up? What are you doing? Just think about this for just a minute. You always do this. As soon as your spouse says that, what do you begin to do? Yeah, I did it one time. That's not true. 3 months ago, I did that. No, it's not never. I did that. It's not always. I don't know. As soon as you say a 100% statement, communication stops at that moment. Because the other person begins to think about the exception to that 100% statement. So you can't say 100% statement. And I want to say something about keep current. Okay, so Merrily and I are very different in the way we handle something. If there's a difficulty between us, I immediately want to talk about it. And for the first years of our marriage, I would keep throwing down the Ephesians 4 card. You know, hey, honey, we can't go to bed. The Bible says, be angry and sin not. The word I forgot is the most important word. Let not your wrath. Wait, please, I'm not saying that verse right. Upon your wrath, okay? Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Okay, so what did I always believe that meant? Honey, we can't go to bed until we get this right. And we'd stay up to 1, 2 o'clock in the morning until my wife finally was ready to talk. Hey, you know what? That's not what that verse teaches. That verse teaches, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun, I know this verse. Let not the sun go down upon, everyone together, go down upon your wrath. Don't go to bed angry at your spouse. But that doesn't necessarily mean that you have to deal with it right then. See, I started to realize Marilee's got to process stuff for a while. I was like, okay, we got to talk about this right now. We got to get this thing right now. I cannot stand conflict between two people. So I immediately got to get it taken care of. My wife had to think about it for a while. She had to process some things. Well, when I started to learn, don't let the sun go down upon your wrath, Jim. Make sure you get it right. But then the next day, hey, honey, I think we need to talk a little bit about what happened last night. You know what? We do. And here's something. And then we worked it out. Are you with me? That was life-changing for our marriage, that we didn't have to deal with everything before we went to bed. We had to deal with what before we went to bed? Your wrath. Don't go to bed with your wrath. But that doesn't mean you have to work. Now, you do have to resolve problems. You can't go 3 months or 3 weeks or 3 days. You got to deal with it, resolve it. But maybe your spouse deals with things differently. Maybe you're the wife that just has to deal with it right away, but your husband needs a little bit of time. Don't let that. So anyways, be honest, keep current. Don't attack the person. Stay away. 100% statement. Number four. Okay, so number one, everyone together, most important relationship in the home. Husband, wife. Most important person in the home. Most important time in the home. When someone else is speaking. Number four. Most important action in the home. Forgiveness. This is the basis to all relationships. The basis to all relationship is forgiveness. And the basis to all forgiveness is what Christ did for you. You see, you will never live on this earth that anyone will ever do to you worse than what you did to Jesus Christ. And if Jesus Christ forgave you of your sin, you can forgive anyone of what they've done. Now, I'll tell you what. You can get along with any human being on planet Earth if you understand, experience, and display forgiveness. Because once you understand that you've experienced forgiveness, you can forgive anyone of what they did. There's a great parable that Jesus taught Peter. How many times do you forgive? And Peter answers his own question 7 times. And Jesus says, no, 70 times 7. In other words, you keep forgiving. What are you talking about? And he gives this incredible parable about a king that he has a subject in his kingdom that owes him $60 million, whatever it is, 10,000 talents of gold, whatever it is. It's a price the guy can never pay. The guy comes and he asks for something. Does anyone remember that parable, what the guy asked for? He does not ask for forgiveness. He asks for what? More time. And he says the word patience. King, give me patience and I'll pay you back. Was the guy ever going to be able to pay him back? No. So the guy does something. So the king does something. He relieves him of the whole debt. You hear this. I don't think the guy ever got it. I think the guy asked, everyone together, the guy asked for patience. I think that's what the guy thinks he got. Because he finds a guy that owes him $20. He goes and he begins to strangle him and throws him in prison for owing. Now you think about this. If you owed somebody $60 million and the guy that you owed $60 million said, hey, you don't owe me anything. You're going to go strangle a guy that owes you $20? Come on, that doesn't even make sense. Does anyone know what the guy asked for that owed the guy $20? Anyone know what he asked for? Patience. You got a whole parable of everyone asking for more time. No, you don't need more time. You know what you need? You need forgiveness. Forgiveness is a choice of your will to reconcile with an offender by erasing the debt that they owe you and living with the consequences. That's exactly what Jesus did on the cross. Brother Sheldon, I didn't hear a word you just said. Here's the idea. Forgiveness at its core is the erasure of a debt. When your spouse does something wrong to you, okay, so he can't, hey, listen, man, I talked to you bad yesterday. Here's $20. What? Yeah, okay, here's $40. what are you talking about? Okay, here's 100. Okay. No, no. They can't pay you back. If they did something to you, if your wife hurt you and hurt you badly, well, that's like a $10,000 one. Okay, they can't give you an amount of money. There's only two things you can do with it then. You either keep them in jail in your heart, in prison, you keep being the judge, the jury, and the prosecuting attorney, and they keep coming guilty, or you do one other thing. You erase the debt. Forgiveness is a choice of your will to reconcile with an offender. It's a relational term. To reconcile with an offender by erasing the debt that they owe you and living with the consequences. That is exactly what Christ did on the cross. Christ made a choice of his will in the Garden of Gethsemane and said, Father, if it be possible, but if not, your will be done. And he was a choice of his will to reconcile with offenders like Jim Shetler and you by erasing the debt and living with the consequences. He died on that cross and took your punishment and lived with the consequences. That's what forgiveness is all about. It is the most important action in your home. There's one other thing I need to tell you about this. Okay, so let me tell you a transparent thing about Jim. Let me tell you one bad thing about me and one good thing about me, and they're both about the same topic. Thing called receipts. You know what a receipt is? Okay, so when I get back to Lancaster, my assistant, Tim Bundy, will first ask me, Dr. Shetler, would you give me your receipts? Oh, yeah, my receipts. You know what? I think I left them at home. They're in my wallet. Yeah, my receipts. Yeah, I am terrible about keeping receipts. Now you say, Brother Shetler, that's not good. That's not a good thing. You know what, guys? That's a terrible thing when it comes to business. But it's a fabulous thing when it comes to relationships. Because you know what some of you guys are? You're phenomenal bookkeepers in relationships. I say a name. There's what they owe me. They owe me this. They owe me this. They owe me this. They owe me this. This is what they did to me. I say your sibling, you go, yep, hey, here's all the records on my sibling. I say your spouse, here's the books. It's 4 years. If you want, I can go back further. Receipts are great to keep for business purposes. Receipts are terrible to keep for relational purposes. You need to get rid of. By the way, did you know when it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, love seeketh no evil. You know what no evil means? Keeps records. Love doesn't keep records. You don't keep receipts on people. I'm going to tell you the most important action in your home is forgiveness. That you will never do anything in your family that's more important than forgiveness. And number five, and we're done. The most important element in your home is God's grace. Because I came from a broken home, when I started to get out in my college days, I knew I needed to see role models or whatever. So I traveled for the college for years. And I went to homes every night and stayed at people's houses. And I didn't travel as a singer. I traveled as a preacher. I got the worst voice in the world. Don't you love Brother Will? Where's Pastor? You do such a good. Oh, this family conference has separated both of you guys. But I love the way you sing, and I don't ever remember you having a bad voice or whatever like that. Well, I got the worst voice in the world, but I did go out as a preacher. Well, I would stay in homes all the time, and wherever I stayed, I would, if I came across a good family, like, ooh, I love their kids. Man, they just really love each other. They just, like, what do you do? So I don't know. I didn't keep records, but I would probably tell you, I probably asked 400 couples or families, what's the key to your success? And gang, this was amazing. They would usually always tell me, oh, we do quality time. Hey, we always have a date night every week. Oh, we did this with our kids. Hey, we used to have fun. We have fun together as a family. Hey, we do our devotion. They would always tell me something very practical. It was always good. And then they would always say this. I can't even think of an exception. There probably was, but I can't think of one. They would always say this. You know, Jim, we just have always learned how to forgive one another. But you know, honestly, Jim, it was the grace of God. And I mean, after you start hearing this dozens of times, and even hundreds of times, they would always, there was always a common denominator with all great families. And the common denominator of all great families was the grace of God. You know what? To be honest with you, Jim, I don't have any secret formula for our marriage. It's just been the grace of God. After 40 years of ministry, I am going to tell you something. How do you get the grace of God? God resisteth the proud, but gives grace to the... I am telling you, the key to a successful marriage and family is humility. And you just die to yourself. And you just say no to yourself. And you just say, you know what? Let's just do this. Honey, I ask you to forgive me. And then when you humble yourself, God pours on the most important element that you need in your home, His grace. And you humble yourself and God pours the grace on. And that way, God gets all the glory. So when you stand someday, and you know what? I've been to a lot of funerals. Come on, I've performed a lot of funerals. And they stand up and they talk about everything the person was or did, and it's all good. But when I stand up to preach, I will almost always say, you know what? So-and-so was one of the greatest Christians you ever met. But can I tell you why? That was the grace of God. That wasn't that person. They were humble enough to allow the grace of God to come on them. And if you got a good marriage, it isn't because, well, I got this little formula here. No, it isn't. If you've got a great marriage, it's because of God's grace. And the way to get God's grace is you humble yourself. Father, I pray that these folks will never forget that the most important relationship in their family is a husband and wife relationship. Father, may they always know that the most important person in the family is Jesus Christ. God, may they never forget that the most important time in their home is when someone else is talking. And Lord, give them the most important action, forgiveness. And I would like to ask that, Lord, you would pour upon all of these marriages and homes the most important element, the grace of God. Father, I don't know of 4 or 5 more important truths that they can ever learn about the home than these 5 things. Father, I pray that they would practice it, experience it, and give you the glory. As Marilee and I have claimed for 38 years, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. Father, may these marriages and homes exalt the name of Christ together, and as they do, pour your grace upon them. Thank you for Pastor having this conference this weekend. Thank you for all that he's done. Thank you for all the traveling churches. I pray you'll give them safety. All the pastors that are here, may they go back stoked, ready to go, ready to use things in their own churches, in their own marriages. And God, I pray that this would not have been a conference in vain. I pray that this would have been helpful. I believe it's been practical. I believe it's been biblical. And the things that Marilee said to the ladies, what we talked to the guys, may they go home and begin to be doers of the word and not hearers only. In Jesus' name, amen.